Good morning, Victory. So glad to be here this morning. I don't know about you, but you know what? There are some people in this world that do things that are flat out ridiculous. Like, I'm not sure if you come across a person like this, but there's some people out there that do things that will leave you absolutely stunned. Like, how in the world did they manage to do something like that? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? For example, anybody who follows basketball knows that Steph Curry is the greatest three-point shooter of all time. Listen, y'all, this dude be dropping buckets from a mile away. You don't believe me? Check it out. Check this video out real quick. This dude grabs this ball and notice where he is. He's on the whole other side of the court and he takes the swing and check it out. Swish. All right, it don't stop there, right? Because he's got to show the world that he's got a ridiculous kind of gift. Boom, the second one drops. He takes the third shot, right? He shoots it, and it's looking good. Swish. He takes the fourth ball, right? And he goes, and he shoots it, and it's good. And then he takes the fifth ball, and check this out. And it's good. Oh, my gosh. This dude is amazing. This here is ridiculous, y'all. I mean, this thing here is ridiculous. Now, when I say the word ridiculous, I'm using it in the urban sense of the word. In fact, the Urban Dictionary defines ridiculous like this. It says something that is unbelievable in some way, shape, or form, an event worthy of memory, something that is crazy, something that's insane, something that's amazing. And you may have noticed today's bumper, you know, maybe you were on our social media platforms, that we're starting today a new three-part series looking at the life of Elisha. As we journey together, you know, through this series, we hope to inspire you to have a ridiculous kind of faith. A crazy, insane, and amazing kind of faith. The kind of faith that compels you to respond immediately with a sense of urgency rather than coming up with a list of pros and cons. I'm talking about the kind of faith that is so crazy, it might have other people scratching their head thinking, like, I don't know if that's the best of ideas, but you know. You know without a shadow of a doubt that it's the best decision because God said so. For those of you who grew up in the church, you know, you might know Elisha's story, but there might be somebody here today that's not a Jesus follower, and you don't spend a lot of time reading the Bible, and you should know that it's pretty easy to get two names in the Bible pretty mixed up, the names Elijah and Elisha. You see, in the Jewish scriptures, or what we often refer to as the Old Testament, we read about a man named Elisha, and then we have another man named Elisha. And so for some context, Elijah was an incredible man of God. He was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. You see, he was bold. He was daring. He was a man that was full of faith. And now Elisha, he wanted to be like Elijah. And he was bold enough, get this, he was ridiculous enough to ask for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And God, you know, in his sovereign will, he gave Elisha, who studied under Elijah, a double portion of this anointing. And get this, Elisha happened to perform more recorded miracles in scripture than anyone with the exception of Jesus. And what's interesting about Elisha, I love this about Elisha, is that Elisha was just a regular dude. I mean, there was nothing that was extraordinary about Elisha. Elisha was not the son of a priest. He was not a monk. He didn't have some outward, you know, he wasn't like some kind of outward spiritual giant or nothing like that. He was just an ordinary guy living at home with his parents. He was just a regular dude, you know, and he was some average Joe, you know. So I want to stop right there. If you're average Joe, you know what I'm saying, and you're living at home with your parents, Elisha could definitely raise his hand and say, me too. He was an average Joe that worked hard. He ate and he slept. He got up in the morning and he did it all over again. In fact, he was working on a farm. He was plowing a field, you know, when God called him to do something incredible. The context is that Elisha, he lived during the 9th century BC in a time when Israel was divided. You know, in those days, many people were worshiping a false god by the name of Baal. And God raised up this ordinary guy and did something absolutely extraordinary through his life. If you have your Bibles or your mobile devices, will you consider turning to or clicking on 1 Kings chapter 19? We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 21. And it reads, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him." Verse 20, "Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come to you.' 'Go back, Elisha,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?'" In other words, don't forget what I just did, right? "So Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen," and this is crazy, "and what did he do?" The Bible says that he slaughtered the yoke of oxen. Then it gets even more ridiculous than this. "He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant." So I want to take a moment to analyze these verses. We see in the middle of verse 19 that the writer tells us exactly what Elisha was doing. Elisha, he was plowing 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. So again, Elisha's working on his parents' farm. He's probably doing the same job that he's been doing forever and a day. I mean, he was driving yoke of oxen. And now, let me pause right there, because I gotta ask you a question. Can you imagine how mundane that kind of job would have been? Can you imagine the monotony of what it would have been to plow a yoke of oxen every single day? Think about it. What do you smell? I mean, you might smell something like this right here. That's right. I know it's a little nasty. I know, but it's real. I'm trying to get you in the context. If you were, you know, doing what Elisha was doing, you would probably be smelling some oxen residue dew. You know, with that in mind, right? Doing a monotonous job like this every single day, I gotta ask, what do you see in front of you? Think about it. I mean, what's your scenery every day behind a plow? You're walking behind oxen. What's your scenery? Well, your scenery is oxen rears, oxtail, right? If I could say it in French, you might be seeing some oxen boute, right? I mean, if you're having trouble visualizing this, I got some help here. Check this out. This is what you're looking at. This is the scenery that you see every single day, and that's not okay, y'all. I mean, you know, I know that maybe some of you might feel like Elisha. You're not exactly looking at oxen rears, but you're doing the same old thing day in and day out, and it gets really monotonous. You're doing the job, you're going in to meet the same people, and you're feeling like you're staring at oxen rears. Now, I don't advise you to go to work tomorrow and call your coworkers, you know, oxen rears or anything like that. I'm not saying that by any means, but you might feel that way. Some of you may be in sales, for example, and you know, it's just day in and day out, the same old thing. You make your quota, it starts all over again. You make your quota, starts all over again. And this, you're probably thinking, this is so monotonous. All I ever do is try to live up to some standard, and it starts all over again. Oxen tails. Some of you might work in a factory, maybe at Amazon. You know, you're picking items, you go home, you eat, you sleep, repeat, back to work, picking items. Oxen tails. Those of you who are parents, what do you see all day long? Diaper, laundry, dishes. Diaper, laundry, dishes. Oxen rears. Now, I'm not calling your kids oxen, I'm just saying, you know. I mean, but this is where Elisha was. But I want you to notice something, y'all. Despite the monotony of his job, Elisha was faithful to the task at hand. And I believe with all my heart that God loves to reward those who are faithful with little things. When you are faithful with the little, mark my words, God can then trust you with much. And despite the fact that his duties may not have, you know, they may have been incredibly draining and, you know, physically and emotionally, Elisha, he remained faithful. Even though it may not have been his favorite thing to do, you know, he was faithful. He remained faithful. And in the middle, get this, in the middle of his faithfulness, in the middle of his faithful daily routine, God, he showed up. And he switched things up. God was about to take him from where he was, and he was about to put him into a place of ridiculous impact. Let's keep analyzing. Verse 19, we read, Elisha went up to him, and he threw his cloak around him. Pause. What exactly does that mean? First, Elijah would have placed, you know, what he would have been wearing over him. It would have been something like an animal skin or a fur or something like that. And he would have taken that and put that over Elisha. This was Elijah's covering. So Elijah, he would have taken the very thing that he used to cover himself and placed it on Elisha. And in doing so, Elijah was basically symbolically saying that that which covered me will now cover you. That which was a mantle on me will now be a mantle on you. That which I was under, you will now be under. You will be my student and I will be your mentor. As God has been working through me, so now God will begin to work through you. So I want to take a moment and try to apply this story to your life and show you two principles of ridiculous commitment. Watch how this ordinary man responds to this extraordinary call. Two principles, if y'all taking notes. You ready for the first principle? Here's the first principle. You don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. And I want you to notice this, all right? God calls Elisha to follow Elijah. And Elijah is not going to know all of the details. He's not. Why? Because you don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. When God calls you to do something, you don't have to have all the details to obey. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Check out what verse 20 says. Here's what happens. First, Elisha, you know, he puts the cloak around him. And in verse 20, the Bible says that Elisha then ran after Elijah. And he simply said, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come to you. And here's what I want you to notice. Notice that Elisha didn't have to pray about this decision. He didn't have to write a list of pros and cons, like, well, should I do this? Should I not do this? You know what I mean? He didn't have to go to a counselor. He was simply saying to himself, I believe that God is in this situation. I don't know about the details, but I believe that you are in this, God. Therefore, I will obey immediately. I'm telling you, you don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. Now, if I could go off on a quick rabbit trail, you know, down a leadership thought, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been asked, you know, what's your 5-year plan? I know that I've been asked that question. And as a visionary, I'm constantly looking into the future, thinking about the direction of our ministry, thinking about the impact that we can make together in the city. I absolutely love strategic planning. I think it's wise to plan ahead, but there is something that I have learned over the course of time. I cannot get so fixated on what God could potentially do in the future and lose sight of what God is doing in the moment. I'm going to repeat that. I cannot get so fixated on what God could potentially do in the future that I lose sight of what God is doing right here, right now. So I used to think 5 years in advance, but I've noticed that we're living in a changing world, an ever-changing world, and things are changing so rapidly, so quickly, that there is no way for me to project ahead all the divine opportunities that God is going to send our way. That's a fact. So I've totally, completely stopped making 5-year plans. I honestly don't even plan for more than 12 months for the mission of victory in the city. Instead of planning that far into the future, here's what I do. I intentionally plan to respond in the present. I want to be able to immediately respond to the voice of God when he speaks. I want to be able to immediately respond to opportunities that I myself am not smart enough to predict. I want to have margin in our leadership, in a margin in our community engagement, a margin in our family so we could jump onto, divine opportunities that we together are not smart enough to predict. So I don't know how this is speaking to you this morning, but I believe with all my heart that if you will get into a posture of spiritual readiness, you will then begin to be able to obey immediately. Even if you don't fully understand. Now, if you don't know, here at Victory, we highly value this idea of staying ready. We say, if you stay ready, you don't gotta get ready. This idea is etched into our value system. We want to be ready to say yes immediately. And let me tell you, this is how God will lead you. I need you to get this. God rarely will give you the details. I believe God is often strategically vague in his directions. You want details, and I believe that God will often look at you and say, you can't handle the details. If I showed you everything, you probably won't show up. I'm just going to give you the next step. In fact, God, you know how he guides? He'll often guide with just one word. And I love the power of this, y'all. Just one word is sometimes what God will give you. When we read the Old Testament, whenever God was speaking to Moses, he gave him direction. You could summarize God's direction in one word. He said, go. I mean, think about what he told Abraham. He said, go to the land I will show you. How about Peter in the New Testament? Jesus was walking on water. What did he tell Peter to do? Jesus gave him one word. And what was that word? He said, come. One word. Peter did not know the details, but he responded to one word and he came. Some of you may be here, you might be hearing a word from God and I don't know what it'll be. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage right now and maybe you're about ready to cash it in and you hear one word and that one word is stay. And because you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately, what do? You stay. Some of you might have a health situation, or maybe it's somebody in your family, and it doesn't look good. And you hear one word from God, and that one word is trust. And you trust, you choose to pray about it, and you choose to hold on to the hope that's found in Christ. You trust. Some of you got a brilliant idea. You want to start a business, a ministry idea. You got an idea for a book, and you're like, how and when and how much is it going to cost? And I don't understand. And God gives you one word, and that word is start. I'm telling you, you don't have to understand. Some of y'all have been hanging around the church for a long time, and you're starting to grow and all that, but you're still kind of hanging out, observing, just looking around. And God might give you one word, commit. Come on, y'all. I mean, don't just stand around looking at what God is doing. Get involved. There's so many opportunities for you to get involved and commit. You can scan this QR code right now and find out, explore the different opportunities that suit you. God wants to use you. And for those of you who are in the Indy campus, there's so many opportunities in the kids ministry, V-City Pantry, Operation Hands and Feet for you to get plugged in. What are you waiting for? Some of you might be praying for the future, You're thinking about your family and that one word that you get is adopt. Or maybe it's foster. And you're like, wait, what age? Domestic? International? Is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? I don't know. I don't understand. But here's the thing. You don't have to understand to take the next step. that you might be single in the house today. You know, you're not legally married, but you're now dating a jerk, right? He's a loser. He's a punk. And everybody knows it. And God may give you one word, and that one word, you know what it is? Break up with the jerk. All right, I know that's five words, but maybe you need to hear five words instead of one, because you are too special to settle for a fixer-upper punk like that. Break up! I mean, who am I going to marry? What if nobody else comes along? Listen here, y'all. You can't marry Mr. Right if you're still chasing after Mr. Wrong. And for you fellas, same thing. You can't marry Mrs. Right if you're still chasing after Mrs. Wrong. You don't have to understand everything to do what God tells you to do. Do y'all feel me up in here? Amen. Personal story. You know, I'll never forget, for those of you who don't know my story, I was incarcerated. And while I was incarcerated, the Lord visited me and he spoke to me. And I'll never forget his words. He said, I want you to go back into the same kind of communities that you once helped destroy, and I want you to start to rebuild them. That was the word he deposited in my life, rebuild. And I'll never forget, one day I'm looking out of, my home office upstairs, and I'm looking right across the street, and there was a, you know, plot of land, and, you know, this just looked awful. I mean, you had puddles, where kids were swimming on. There was drug paraphernalia all over the space. People were using the property to do illegal dumping. It was crazy. And it would have seemed ridiculous to do anything on that space. But God, I remember him saying, that is holy ground right there. And I was reminded of the word that he spoke into my life, rebuild. You know what I did? I didn't know how in the world we were going to rebuild in that space, because I did not own that property, y'all. But we started to rebuild on that space, y'all. And we not only began to build on that space, through that ministry, we were able to make an impact on the life of so many people that were living in our community, y'all. I'm telling you, y'all, just obey. Let me tell you, through that experience, you know, it's a long story, but I'm going to try to cut it down for the sake of time. But, you know, YFC, Central Indiana Youth for Christ, they learned about the work that we were doing in the city. And I'll never forget, one day they invited me to interview to be a part of their team. And I walked into the interview, and the lady, she pulls out not my resume, she pulled out my rap sheet. And she's basically going down a long list of things that I did in the past. And I remember telling her, you know, I don't remember a lot of the things that I did in my past, because I was probably high or drunk out of my mind. But I could tell you about my today, and I could tell you about where God is taking me. And I'll never forget her words. She said, Danny, we want to hire you because your story reflects the kind of change that we want to see in the life of young people across the city and across the world. And I was like, praise the living God, I got a full-time job. Having come home from prison, that's a big deal, y'all. Full-time ministry. And it was through that ministry, let me tell y'all, that the Lord began to pour into my life. I was like a toddler just bouncing off of the walls, like shotgun ministry everywhere. But YFC taught me how to hone my focus, how to narrow my focus. You know, and I'm a better leader today because of that ministry. And so 6 years later, I remember the Lord opened up the doors for me to walk into the ministry of victory, y'all. And today, let me tell y'all, together, we are making an impact all across the city, y'all. I'm telling you, obey. That's all he's asking you to do. I would have never thought in a million years that we would end up owning a church and several properties. But God showed up. My wife knows what I'm talking about. So everything that I'm doing, that we are doing in this moment, you know what it is? It's the result of a ridiculous obedience, y'all. It didn't make no sense whatsoever back then, especially to those within my immediate circumference. Because of one word, rebuild. Let me tell you, I chose to obey. And today, again, together, we get to make an incredible impact. And I believe that today some of you are going to hear a word from God, that you're going to be crazy enough, that you're going to be ridiculous enough to say, I don't know all the details and I don't have to understand it all, but I'm going to obey immediately. So, thought number one, y'all ready for this? Thought number one, you don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. All right, you ready for number two? Here it is. Those that God uses the most are the ones that hold on to the least. This is going to speak to somebody as we close. Watch what Elisha does in verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen. Okay, so just so you know, this is his livelihood. And what did he do with his livelihood? He slaughtered them. I mean, he killed them. They dead. Finito. I mean, and it doesn't stop there, right? He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people and they ate. He made a bonfire out of the plowing equipment and he cooked steaks for his buddy. You know what I mean? And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's crazy. I mean, it's insane. It's amazing. Elijah is thinking, God called me to follow this prophet, to become like this prophet, to become a prophet, and to become like him, and maybe even greater than him. So what do I do? Well, I'm going to go kill the cows, and I'm going to burn the plows. That's what I do. That's ridiculous. I mean, well, killing cows kind of makes sense. I mean, any steak lovers in the house? You know what I mean? How you like yours? Medium rare? I know some of y'all in the city like it well done. Let's go. I know about that. You know, whatever. It's like, let's party, y'all. So I get it. I see why, you know, he would want to kill the cows. But this dude, he doesn't stop there, y'all. I mean, you know what he does? He goes out and he burns the plows, y'all. He's like, I'm burning plan B. There's no plan B. There's only obey God. That's all there is. Now, if Aaliyah, you know, my daughter, she came to me with that plan, you know, can I keep it real here? I'm probably going to be like, I love it, babe. Amazing, Faith. I think that's awesome. I want you to, you know, serve God well and all that. But, you know, let's keep our options open a little bit. I mean, you know, that's honestly what I'm thinking. I mean, let's use our minds here. There's no reason to do all that yet. That's extra. You know, you know, you could go follow God, you know, but keep the cows, keep the plows, because you never know. You come back, you might need it. That's probably what I'm saying. No cat. But, you know, here's the thing. When you read through scripture, we cannot come away from the reality that oftentimes when people, you know, they are so moved by God, they do ridiculous things to follow him. Peter and his team, for example, literally walked away from everything that they loved and they owned to follow Jesus. You know, we could read that story and we could just pass it by, not think very much about it. But I got to ask you, try to put yourself in their sandals. You leave your job, you know, you just got a major in college for this thing. You know, you leave your comfort zone, you leave your family, you know, your neighborhood, you leave your church, and do you see it? Peter and his team left everything to follow Jesus. And like Elisha, they figuratively speaking killed their cows and burned their plows. They weren't thinking about plan B. And there's some of you here today that I believe that God is going to speak to you and give you a plow burning kind of faith, y'all. No matter what comes your way, you are going to kill the cows and you are going to burn the plows. There is no plan B, y'all. Come on. And before we go any further, I got to make this clear. Before you go off burning plows and killing cows, make sure that you know that God is speaking to you. All right? Don't just go to work tomorrow and say, like, I'm sick of this job. And, you know, go in and say, I hate y'all all. I'm going to burn the building down. Okay? Don't do that. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me out there? Don't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you know that you know that you know that God is calling you to leave where you are to go where he wants you to go, you respond. When you know without a shadow of a doubt that you cannot go back because God is calling you forward. There are some of you, I believe, that God is going to give a plow-burning faith. Where deep within, you're willing to do whatever it takes to follow God to the next place in your life. And I want to encourage you, don't allow the enemy to stop you from responding to God's leading in your life. Remember, you don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. And I know that some of you, you know, you might feel inadequate. Maybe some of you feel like Peter, you know, he said, I'm a sinful man. And you might feel like your life is a mess. And you might be saying, you know, I'm going to wait till I get my act together. And I'm not sure what exactly you are telling yourself right now. But if there's anything that's keeping you from serving God, here's what I need you to do. Burn that plow. If there is sin that is holding you back, burn that plow. If there is doubt in your life, burn that plow. If there's a relationship holding you back, burn that plow. Do not let anything stop you from following God. Here's my challenge for you. Let it go and obey. It's simple. Let it go. And obey. Don't be hindered by anything in this world. Remember that you are in the world, but you are not of this world. Do not let the affairs of this world consume you and keep you from all the amazing things that God has in store for you, y'all. Don't be like Linus, holding on to your blanket, your little blankie. Burn that blankie. I'm telling you. You may be looking at oxen rears today, but God is calling you right here, right now, to start expressing ridiculous faith. Especially now more than ever. We're living in some crazy days, y'all. People are out of control. It's like the world has gone mad. You see it all around you. You've seen it on the news yesterday. You're going to hear about it more and more every day. What are we to do? It's simple. Let the affairs of this world go and obey God. Despite the craziness, what this nation needs more of is more Jesus followers that have a ridiculous kind of faith. Men and women that will decide to walk with Jesus with every fiber of their being. People who are intentional about living out their faith. People who display with their lives that we have a new king. This new king, his name is King Jesus. Can we pray? Father, we come before you and we thank you that you speak to us through your word. And you use stories, real life stories, like the story of Elijah and Elisha, to speak to us and help us to see our need to simply obey, even when we don't understand. God, I'm praying right now that you give us the courage, Lord God, to recognize the plows in our lives, Lord God. You give us the courage to burn those plows so that we do away with plan B and we stick to obeying you. God, we pray that you empower us by your Holy Spirit to live a life, Lord God, that is a reflection of your love and your goodness to a world gone crazy. And I'm asking you right now, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you enable us to speak life when death seems to surround us. We love you. We thank you that you are our King. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen and amen.